Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The state of Missouri on Tuesday executed Marcellus Williams for the murder of former St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter Felicia Gale in University City in 1998. Williams claimed he was innocent. The Midwest Innocence Project took up the case, and so did St. Louis County prosecuting attorney Wesley Bell. Under a 2021 state law, Bell, in January, filed a motion to vacate Marcellus Williams' sentence, saying at the time that there was, quote, inexorable doubt on Mr. Williams' conviction and sentence. That same state law was used successfully to overturn the wrongful convictions of Kevin Strickland, Lamar Johnson, and Christopher Dunn. But in the end, it didn't work in the case of Marcellus Williams. To talk with me about the twists and turns of this case is St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney Wesley Bell. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to be careful that we don't get too much into the legal weeds of this case. And I do think it is important to point out that there is both the institution of the death penalty as it's allowed in Missouri, and there is opposition to the death penalty in general. Now, when you ran against your predecessor, Bob McCullough, you specifically talked about your opposition to the death penalty. Why are you opposed to it, Prosecutor?
I'd look at this from a public policy standpoint, as well as from a morality, from a morality standpoint. Morally, we're the last westernized country that still implements the death penalty. But from a public policy standpoint, the death penalty was always thought to be a deterrent to crime, which research studies have shown that that's just not true. Also, the argument is that the death penalty gives closure to the family. But what we know is that it does quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. Because of the level of scrutiny, the strict scrutiny that courts have to give death penalty cases, because you're implementing a punishment that you can't undo, courts have to give this high level of scrutiny. And that costs money and resources and time. So what we find from the victims of families is that 10 years after a case has been closed and the conviction has gone through, they get a call saying, well, we got to do this over again, and you got to relive this terrible tragedy all over again. Mm-hmm. I think this case with Marcellus Williams, it is the exemplification of why the death penalty is wrong. The family of Felicia Gale has to relive this yet again, mm-hmm. This terrible tragedy. And as we sit here, as the prosecutor, I can't look them in the eye and tell them that the right person was punished, because we don't know.
Mm-hmm. And for the sake of clarity, Prosecutor, Missouri is one of 27 states that retains capital punishment. And in criminal cases that have come before your office since 2019, you have not pursued the death penalty?
We have not, and we will not, as long as I am the prosecutor. And I'll even say this from a economic standpoint. It cost taxpayers more money to execute because of the appeals and the procedures and things that go into it. It costs more than just sentencing the person to life in prison without the possibility of parole. So from a morality standpoint, from a public policy standpoint, but also from an economic standpoint, the death penalty doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. And I think this antiquated form of punishment, I think it's time for it to end.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk more specifically about Marcellus Williams' case. Now, Williams always maintained he had nothing to do with the 1998 murder of Felicia Gale. Police did find some of Gale's possessions in a car that belonged to Williams, and he had pawned a laptop belonging to her husband. But there was no forensic evidence, like DNA, hair, or fingerprints, that ever tied him to the scene. And Williams was largely convicted on the testimony of a jailhouse informant who is now dead and a former girlfriend who had reportedly tried to tell an activist that she recanted. That former girlfriend is also now deceased. So prosecutor, based on the facts of the case, had you been the county prosecutor in 1998, would you have charged Marcellus Williams with first-degree murder?
This is such an interesting question because it's something that my team has talked about extensively. And speaking of, I do want to acknowledge some folks who worked really hard on mm-hmm. this case. The attorneys at Lathrop GPM, Matt Jacober, Teresa Hurla, Alana McMullen, also our Conviction Incident Review Unit led by Jessica Hathaway, these folks invested blood, sweat, and now tears with this case. And I know we didn't get the outcome that we wanted, but that doesn't take away from the work, the tireless and thankless work that they did. And so I just want to make certain that I acknowledge them. And everyone who mm-hmm. worked on this case. There were a lot of folks.
So with all of those resources put in, I mean, had you been county prosecutor in 98, yeah. would you have charged Marcellus Williams with first-degree murder?
You know, that's a tough one to look at 20-something years later. I will say it is not a case that would have been a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination mm-hmm. for us, and we've talked about that. Now, what we, you know, it, in real time, 20-something years ago, things could look a little bit differently. But when I look at what we know, mm-hmm. two witnesses who were paid informants, and in addition to being jailhouse informants, paid informants, a weapon where the DNA did not come back, at least as far as we know, to the defendant, that is problematic with respect to who killed Miss Gale. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, from what I'm looking at, I would have wanted stronger evidence to prosecute this case. Mm-hmm. Now, are we saying with certainty that Marcellus Williams was innocent? I can't say that. But I also can say with certainty that I don't know if he was guilty. And we wanted time to be able to investigate that. But because the case was set and the execution was not stayed, even short time, if not permanently.
Right.
It hampered our abilities to fully mm-hmm. investigate, those innocent claims.
Right. And on that note, we're saying 1998. That was a very long time ago. And Williams was convicted in 2001. So we're talking about, you know, some 23 years that Williams spent on death row. And there were many twists and turns in his case, as we noted in the introduction. I'd like to go through some of that. Now, in 2017, former Governor Eric Greitens issued a stay of Williams' execution and appointed a board of inquiry to take a look at the case. Then in June 2023, about 5 years later, current Governor Mike Parson dissolved that board without taking action. What do you make of that, Prosecutor Bell?
That is another problem with this case, is if there is the shadow of, even the shadow of a doubt of someone's innocence, even for those who support the concept of the death penalty, you cannot execute someone unless, you know, if there is not certainty. And in this case, there is not certainty. And the Board of Inquiry, we would have liked to see them be able to complete their the function that they were created to do mm-hmm. and to be able to give us a report and make that public. But as a result, it's not. And as the prosecutor of the – now, I was in law school at the time or undergrad. I can't remember. So obviously I wasn't involved when this case was originally tried and with the conviction. But there are still things that we are sitting here and we don't know the answers to. And a man who could have mm-hmm. been innocent was executed.
With those we don't knows, so one member of that board of inquiry told St. Louis Public Radio in 2022 that its members met for the last time in July 2021 and had made oral recommendations to Governor Parson. We don't know what those recommendations were, but does that, that is, you know, the fact that Greitens issued a stay, that there was a board of inquiry, that said board made oral recommendations, I mean, does that give you any assurance that William's case got a good look?
It doesn't. It doesn't at all. And that's information that would have been very beneficial in any kind of investigation. And if we're talking, and again, I say this because I want folks to understand, as a prosecutor, my job is not to get convictions. My job is not, and we hear about prosecutors talking about their conviction rates, and our job is not to collect stats. Our job is to bring justice. And justice is to be able to fully vet out a case, fully vet out innocence claims, and to be able to turn to the public and say, this is what we've uncovered. This is what our investigation concludes. We weren't able to do that. And this outcome does not serve the interests of justice. And that is one of several reasons that it does not.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Wesley Bell, who is the prosecuting attorney for St. Louis County. We're speaking about the case of Marcellus Williams, who was executed earlier this week. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Let's return to my conversation with Wesley Bell, the prosecuting attorney for St. Louis County. We're discussing the case of Marcellus Williams, who was executed on Tuesday for a crime he said he never committed. Prosecutor Bell, I'd like to fast forward to your time as county prosecutor. Why is it that in January of this year, you filed a motion to vacate Williams' conviction?
Because what we did was we reviewed this case as we do with others. We created a conviction incident review unit. And the idea is that as prosecutors, it is our job at times to recommend folks go to jail. And it's important that we have safeguards in place to make sure that we get it right. And this unit was created to that end. And in this case, when this matter was brought to us, our team started digging in. Mm-hmm. And I want to be clear, we have a small team for our CIRU unit. We didn't get additional budget to create this unit. We had to repurpose other positions, and we still have not gotten the staffing that we need to be able to dig into so many claims, which is another conversation. Mm-hmm. But with that said, our team started looking at it, and there were serious concerns, serious issues with not only the claims of innocence. There's another part that people have to understand, but also the integrity of the conviction. So we have a conversation. We have one side. We have a conversation of whether Marcellus Williams was innocent. There are legitimate concerns and questions that he very well may have been innocent. But also there's another side of it. That's the integrity of the conviction. And that's where even if you aren't certain about his innocence, he should not be executed because there are legitimate concerns that we have, that we highlighted, that we brought before the courts with respect to the conviction. You have two primary witnesses who were paid informants. You have a murder weapon that was contaminated by the state. Now, I don't think that was intentional. I don't think that was anything nefarious, but the fact remains that it was. And at the very least, if the state made a mistake that in that that caused the defendant to that complicated the defendant's ability to vet out his innocence, mm-hmm. that is another justification for the at the very least life without prison. Without the possibility of parole, mm-hmm. and in that way, you haven't done something that you can't undo.
Right. So, do you think that filing the motion to vacate sooner than January could have changed anything?
Well, I don't know, and again, we can only do what we can do. We have one full-time attorney in that department in that unit. Because we can't have two or three as we would like. We don't have the budget to do it.
Right, budget and capacity.
And there are other cases, as you all have covered, that have come through. And what we do is we prioritize the cases that are closest to execution dates. Mm-hmm. And so we've had to prioritize, and that's exactly what we've done. Now, with that said, I don't know if that would have made any difference because, I mean, this was filed in January. Mm-hmm. And in January, we said we would like to have the time to be able to investigate this matter because we think that there's a possibility we could actually answer that question of innocence, but it's not always going to be fast. Mm-hmm. I got to acknowledge the folks who worked on this case and invested so much time and effort and did a tremendous job. And this case should have. And let me add one more point, Elaine. We had reached a resolution on this case to save his life.
Right. And we'll definitely get to that. What I would like to have you speak to is the DNA evidence. And you did talk a little bit about that just a couple of minutes ago. And one of the key arguments was the legal arguments, that is, was the question of DNA evidence on the murder weapon, namely that Marcellus Williams' DNA was never on it. And there was DNA of two people who at the time that you filed the motion to vacate Williams' conviction were unknown. So once it came back that the DNA belonged to two people in the St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney's Office who years before had handled the knife. I mean, what did you think about the case you had then?
You know, initially when the DNA, and that was something that I have to also give credit to our team, we would not have that answer without us pushing that issue to get that murder weapon retested. And that question would have been lingering had our team, and that includes all the folks that I acknowledged, had not been pressing that issue. If the DNA comes back to some unidentified individual, obviously that strengthens Marcellus Williams' claim of innocence. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of it, and folks have to understand that it's not just what you see in the news or listened to on radio. Our obligations as prosecutors are to ensure that a defendant has a fair trial. So if you pay attention to my comments, oftentimes when I'm talking about a case that we're bringing, I'm very measured in what I say, and also I have to make certain that I am clear, but ethically, that I am letting the public know that the defendant is innocent until proven guilty. Our charges are just allegations at this point. Those are things ethically we have to make certain that we discuss. And so we have a duty to ensure that the defendant has a fair trial, but we also have a duty to ensure that the defendant that we preserve the defendant's right to appeal. Mm-hmm. And that's why when we're in trial, you see us with gloves handling key evidence, and we're doing those things not because we like wearing gloves. We're doing them to make certain that the defendant's right to appeal is preserved and that we don't contaminate evidence while doing our job in trial.
Mm-hmm. So you talked about agreement. We're going to go back to that. Mm-hmm. In August, your office reached an agreement with Marcellus Williams' attorneys to take the death penalty off the table and change it to life in prison. And that agreement, by the way, and this is also something that you alluded to earlier in the conversation, that it had the support of the victim's family. Was the decision to change it to life in prison at all motivated by the DNA evidence on the murder weapon no longer being an uncertainty?
Yeah, what gets lost in this, first and foremost, is Felicia Gale's family is still here, and they're still dealing with this tragedy and having to relive it again. And I just want to make certain that I say that my thoughts and prayers have always been with them and will continue to be with them because they still lost their loved one. Now, with that said, with the agreement, there was an agreement that our office reached with defense counsel, and the court accepted it. Mm-hmm. And the family of Felicia Gale supported it. And that agreement would have sentenced Marcellus Williams to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And in a case like that, where everyone is in agreement, it was so disheartening and disappointing when that was appealed by the AG's office, particularly when the family of the deceased was in support as well. So mm-hmm. that was there. It was accepted, and it was only changed once it was appealed and the court sent it back.
Right. So when AG Bailey objected to the agreement, Tricia Rojo Bushnell, the executive director of the Midwest Innocence Project, which was representing Williams, said her organization did not understand Bailey's decision to fight the settlement. She said, quote, "This decision directly contradicts the will of a duly elected prosecutor and the community he represents and the wishes of a family who has already lost so much. That is not justice." So what about this question of authority then between yourself and Attorney General Andrew Bailey when it comes to who from the government should decide the punishment?
Again, we took an oath to bring justice, not to bring convictions and not to make political issues. So sometimes folks are thinking, okay, well, there's politics at play here with respect to our office. And here is my position. I'm clear on where I stand against the death penalty. We are not going to bring any death penalty cases under my watch, and we have not. That said, even if you are one who supports the idea of the death penalty, if there is the shadow of a doubt with respect to one's guilt or guilt or what have you, or innocence, even one who is a pro-death penalty advocate, it cannot justify the death penalty in a situation like mm-hmm. this. And I'm telling you, as the prosecutor with our office who has dug in this case, there are serious questions, not only about his potential innocence, but also with the integrity of the prosecution. And for that reason, no one should agree that he should be executed, and even the family, mm-hmm. again, had their opposed the death penalty right. in this matter.
And you had spoken earlier about the integrity of the conviction, the process. There were other legal arguments, such as ineffective counsel and a black juror being struck. But I want to ask you about the 2021 state law that we mentioned earlier that did bring about the release of people like Chris Dunn and Lamar Johnson. That requires clear and convincing evidence, either of actual innocence or constitutional error. Do you think the law is sufficient, even if it didn't work in saving the life of Marcellus Williams?
Sufficient? That's a fluid concept. I think that it could be stronger. I think that if the duly elected prosecutor who is elected directly by the constituents in this region, I think should have more say mm-hmm. in cases, you know, in cases that involve our office. No one is going to be more knowledgeable. No one is going to be more invested than our office in cases that deal with the folks who live right here in St. Louis County mm-hmm. as the St. Louis County prosecutor. And no one's going to be more accountable to folks in this region than their duly elected prosecutor mm-hmm. with respect to these types of matters. So, no, I think that it was a good piece of legislation. I think that the spirit of the legislation was not followed in this case. I do think that there are some ways to strengthen mm-hmm. that language to ensure justice is served.
Right.
So at the end of the day, that's
all
we're looking for.
Of the law, then, I mean, how would the letter need to change in order for the spirit to reflect what we're talking about here, you know, for the prosecutor specifically to have more say?
I think if a duly elected prosecutor shows evidence, and again, I don't take these things or file these types of things haphazardly, but if a duly elected prosecutor believes in good faith that there are questions about and particularly an execution, not mm-hmm. just a conviction, but an execution, at the very least, that should be given considerable weight in at least taking a defendant off death row.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can understand we don't want to undermine a jury with respect to a conviction, and that should have a higher standard. And we're not doing that. What I'm suggesting is taking someone off death row mm-hmm. to make certain that we're not executing an innocent man. And in this case, I don't know if we did or not, or right. if the state did or not.
So as we wrap here, you know, at the end of the day, what we're left with is that Marcellus Williams died by lethal injection on Tuesday evening. Do you have any fear that because your efforts under the 2021 state law didn't work, that it will impact chances for other people in the future to have their convictions vacated?
You know, I listened to an interview by his son, and I was really taken aback by his perspective. And he talked about how he hopes that this will help other folks who might be wrongfully accused or wrongfully convicted. And I do believe awareness of these issues does help us in this fight to reform our system. And we have I think we have the best criminal justice system in the world, but it's far from perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that we have to make certain that folks are aware, that people understand that these issues have to be prioritized. We have an election coming up in November, and elections matter. When we look at this case in the Supreme Court, the decision went along partisan lines. The Republicans upheld Missouri's ability to execute. The Democrats dissented, and so elections matter.
Mm-hmm.
And getting the right people in place that will do the right thing. I think that it's I do not think it is the right approach for anyone in the criminal justice who has the ability to make these decisions to oppose them as a matter of default.
Right, right.
I think that that's wrong. Mm-hmm. We need to look at each case on a case-by-case basis and do what's right in that particular case.
Right. And as far as the U.S. Supreme Court goes, the three liberal justices on the court did say that they would have granted a stay. Wesley Bell is the prosecuting attorney for St. Louis County. Thank you for joining us today to talk about this case.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.